Good morning, everyone. It's time again to share the wonderful words of life with each one of our listeners. Thank you, folks, for joining us today for this radio broadcast. This broadcast comes to you from the Church of God here at God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street in Newark, Ohio. Here now is our brother Larry Dishman to bring some good news from a far country.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn with us over to the book of Colossians and the first chapter. Colossians 1, verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. My message comes in the form of a question. Are you pleasing God? I'm not asking you, are you a Christian? Who do you strive to please the most in your life? Your spouse, your family, your children, your boss, or yourself? That last one is our biggest battle, pleasing ourselves. If we please ourselves, we can't please God. It seems that many strive to please man more than they strive to please God. But the chief aim of every child of God should be to please our Heavenly Father. Merely pleasing people is incompatible with being a servant of Christ. The aim of believers in all their worthy conduct should be to please God in every way, to anticipate and do His wishes in every aspect of our life. You know when you're the happiest? You know when you're the most satisfied? When you're living a life that pleases God. Because there is no satisfaction in being an uncommitted Christian if there is such a thing. Ultimately, we will most be fulfilled when we fulfill God's purpose in our lives, because He loves us. Did you know God loves you and God wants the best for you? So let's look at some ways that will please God in the Word of God. Pleasing God involves discovering the will of God and doing the will of God. It's not enough for us just to discover the will of God. We've got to be willing to do the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians and the 4th chapter and verse number 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received us, how ye ought to walk and please God, so that you would abound more and more. Amen. We ought to walk in such a way that we can please God. And He said, abound more and more. First of all, I believe it pleases God when we have faith. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter and verse number 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you got two things. You got to believe that God is real, and you got to believe that God is a rewarder. This passage identifies faith, believing in God, doing His will is pleasing to God. He also gives us, here in the book of Hebrews, a prime example of this kind of faith. In verse number 5, Enoch, we find, lived increasingly in an evil world before the flood. But he did not go the way of the world and the other people, the way, the direction that most people was going in. Enoch went in the opposite direction. Instead, the Bible says, he walked with God. And guess what it said? He had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony for a child of God to have. A testimony that he pleased God. I want us to know that every one of us, no matter where we are in life, we can have this testimony that we pleased God. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But we read in the book of Hebrews 11, chapter and verse number 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch not only pleased the Creator, God, he believed that the Lord would come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. Because the Bible says in Jude 1 and verse number 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, what they have done ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Friend, when we believe God and believe what he says, we will be pleasing in the sight of God. Secondly, God is well pleased when we're spiritually minded. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're in the spirit, you can please God. Amen. God is greatly pleased when his people follow the Spirit in all things. Having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and leading us is another thing that pleases God. Thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. And thank God it will listen to the Spirit's voice. It will heed the Spirit's voice. The Spirit's voice will become clearer and clearer. But on the other hand, if we fail to be sensitive to the voice of God, if we fail to listen to God, that same voice will become fainter and fainter till we cannot hear it at all. When we fail to rely on the Spirit, God is not pleased, and the Spirit of God is grieved. Amen. The Apostle Paul talked about this, I think it was, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse number 26, when he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but what did he say? I keep under my body. Amen. I bring it into subjection. Lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, Paul said, when it comes to temptation, when this flesh wants to go in the opposite direction, amen, he said, I beat down my body and I bring it into subjection. What's he talking about? Walking in the Spirit. Thirdly, it pleases God when we fear God. Psalms 147 and verse number 11 said, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope for his mercy. When it says to fear God, he's not talking about us being terrified. God don't want us to be terrified of him. Psalms 147 describes God as the one who heals the brokenhearted. He's the one that binds up their wounds and This passage praises his mercy. It praises his knowledge. The Bible says there in Psalms 147, he knows all the stars and his power to save the humble. The Bible tells us to fear God, not because it's good for him, but he tells us to fear him because it's good for us. To accurately recognize that he is more powerful than anything else. Acknowledging this shows our deep respect for him. The proper fear and respect of God will motivate us to avoid sin. That's why he said to fear God. There's Bible for that in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse number 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Amen. It's good to fear God. It pleases God when we fear him. It reminds us that God will hold us accountable for our actions. Fearing God allows us to rely on him, reverence him, which can deepen our love for the all-powerful God who cares enough to stoop down and deliver little you and I. For us to please God, we must be in awe of his glory and of his power. The fourth thing, study to follow Christ's example. It pleases God when we study and follow Jesus Christ's example. The Bible says in Matthew 17 and verse number 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Jesus truly was the Son of God, and there has never been one person that ever pleased God to the degree that Jesus Christ pleased God. We should all hear him and follow his example. Why? Because the Bible says in John 8 and verse number 29, and he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He said, not 50% of the time, not 90% of the time, not 99% of the time. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. So, if we will study to follow the example of Christ, we also can please God. God, in his word, would not have told us that we should please him because if it's an impossibility. The very fact that we're encouraged in the word of God to please God tells me that it's possible. Jesus said he always did those things that pleased the Father. What a great example for every one of us to follow, and that is to follow the example of Jesus Christ. So we should study the four Gospels and learn how we too can please him. Amen. We ought to please God by following his pattern of prayer. Amen. The life that he lived, the spirit that he manifested, the humility that he possessed. We please God when we obey him. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than fat of rams. In this picture, friend, the prophet Samuel expressed God's displeasure with Israel's first king, Saul. Saul had disobeyed God's direct command with the excuse that the people wanted to give what should have been destroyed. But God doesn't want our physical gifts if we're going to break His laws. Again, God doesn't command us to obey just because it's good for Him. God commands us to obey because it's good for us. Everything that God asked you to do, it's good for you. Deuteronomy 10 and verse number 13 says, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statute, which I command thee this day for thy good. His laws, His commands are beneficial. And as the results of obeying Him, we grow in godly, righteous character and become more like Jesus Christ. The fact that obeying God is pleasing to Him is expressed in various ways throughout the New Testament. God has pleasure in uprightness. Then it pleases God when we do His will. Hebrews 13:21, He said, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm telling you about something, doing God's will is well pleasing in God's sight. Amen. It's not just pleasing. He said it's well pleasing. What is God's will? God's desires, His commands, His plans are expressed throughout the Bible. In fact, the Bible was given so that you and I could see what God's will is for us. Amen. When we study the Bible, we read and we sense what is the mind of Christ. Studying the Bible, meditating on the Bible, praying is keys to gaining deeper understanding of the will of God. God's will for us goes beyond just knowing what He wants. Friend, it involves doing every good work, working at maturing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which also in heaven is perfect. Jesus Christ, thank God, set the ultimate example of doing the will of God when He faced that terrible scourging and crucifixion for our sins. And yet in the midst of it all, we read in the book of Luke 22 and verse number 42, hear Christ praying, and He said, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Friend, He was willing to give up Himself totally to show His love and to do the Father's will. We must seek God's help to always do those things that's pleasing in the sight of God. The seventh thing, it pleases God when we give the sacrifice that God wants. God wants a sacrifice. And the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews and the 13th chapter and verse number 15, when it says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It could be that God's not pleased with some of us because we don't give Him the fruit of our lips. We don't give Him the praise that He deserves. We don't give Him the glory that He deserves, the honor that He deserves. We got a whole lot to praise God for. Amen. We saw earlier that God rejected sacrifices that were gained through disobedience. But there are sacrifices that are well-pleasing in the sight of God, including giving praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God what God has done in my life. I thank God that He saved me one day when I was lost and helpless within myself. And not only do I thank God for saving me, it's been God that's kept me down through these years. And we'll look around, we can always think of something to praise God for. Amen. I tell you, friend, these reflect His teachings expressed in the two great commandments. They're summarized in the book of Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." No matter how much we give God, we can never come close to scratching the surface of what God has done for us, much less what He wants to do for us. In this life, He offers some great benefits, such as Proverbs 16:7, when He said, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." When a man's ways please the Lord. Some of that ain't no way anybody can please. Yes, there's a way we can please God. Last but not least, God is pleased to save sinners through the preaching of the gospel. This pleased God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Friend, before you can live a life that's pleasing to God, you first must receive God's salvation. Today, if you're without Christ, I want to encourage you to acknowledge Him, repent of your sins, place faith in the Son of God, Jesus died in your stead. I invite you to tell the Lord that you're willing to trust Him with your eternal destiny. Are you willing to rely upon His provision for you? I encourage you to let Him know that you are willing to let Him build a new life in you, the life that you were created to live. And the first step is to repent and place faith in the Son of God, be born again. We cannot please God in our own strength. You're never going to be able to muster up enough willpower to please God. It takes determination, but it takes more than determination. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to please God. The ability for us to please the Lord is not within us, but it is the result of God's work in us. As we read a while ago, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." But he goes on and he says, "But you are not in the flesh as the people of God." But God will enable us to live that life that's pleasing to Him when we have the power in our life. Somebody said, "That's exactly what I lack. I lack that power to live a life that's pleasing to God." Then ask Him for more power. He said, "You have not because you ask not." Acknowledge to God, "Lord, I'm coming short. I'm not pleasing you in this area in my life." God loves you. He's not here to criticize you, to hurt you. He wants to give you the power that you need in your life to please God. Let me ask you a very important question. Do you, down deep in your heart, feel that you're living a life that pleases God? What greater legacy could one hope to leave than the testimony that God was pleased? I can't imagine a greater goal in life than to live in such a way that someday when we appear before the Father, we could hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Is your life pleasing to him, or are you dishonoring him by an unworthy walk? Who are you trying to please? The life that pleases God is a life that's lived in harmony with God's Spirit. Amen. We've been given exhortation to live to please God. And not only that, we have the explanation how we can live that life in the Word of God. Will we purpose to live our lives to please God, or to please ourselves, or to please someone else? Because he said in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Are we pleasing him in all areas of our life? If not, why not determine from this point on, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will live a life that pleases God. How is it in your life? Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We'd like to let you know, folks, that our fall camp meeting is nearing here at the Church of God at God's Acres. It will start on August the 1st and go through August the 8th. We trust that you will plan to be here with us during that time. Now, in behalf of Pastor Roger Decker, we'd like to extend a warm welcome to you to each of our services here at God's Acres. The service times for today will be 9:30 at Sunday School. The morning worship will begin at 10:45, and the evening worship will start at 6 o'clock. If you would like to have transportation to the service, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. That's 740-345-1213. I see it's time to leave again for today. But before we leave, I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us today. This is Fred Barrows inviting you to join us here again next week at this same time to the Church of God radio broadcast. Until then, dear ones, may God bless and be with each one of you is our prayer.